This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He's Anthony Pusick. And Monday means EJ Raddick from the NHL Network. What's up, buddy?
Oh, much happy Easter to you and all.
Yeah.
Listeners, I hope you had a nice weekend and enjoyed the holiday. And, you know, just we're coming down the stretch here of the season. And, you know, we're almost to the playoffs. And, hey, listen, it was a good night for me. I curb your enthusiasm. Bruce Springsteen was on. I'm a big Springsteen fan. And then they mentioned the Rangers, Larry David, as you know, and Anthony knows, is a big Ranger fan. The Rangers got a mention, and so, boy, it was good for me to have the boss and then have a mention of hockey.
Yeah, you know, I got to go back. I've got a DVR to just post the Easter with the six-year-old twins. I didn't have much when I got home.
Yeah, you get a little, there's a lot of eggs hunting, and there's a lot of candy to be had, and there's a lot of things going on.
And since we're talking hockey and competition, the advice I give to somebody like Anthony, who's going to have kids down the road, I guess at some point, is that the Easter egg hunt is a really good idea and it's a lot of fun. But there's also a lot of consoling because, at least with my kids and my nephew, the three of them, it's a competition. And somebody's going to lose and somebody is not going to take it well. And Marco, as you know, is someone that's very, very competitive. What we do is there's 58 eggs to find, and then whoever has the most wins, and then there's a golden egg to find. Well, he was not in. He was in a bad way. So we just, but luckily, a lot of chocolate kind of soothed it through, greased the skids to feeling better about himself, but. Yeah, he's got a bit of a losing.
Marco, there'll be other Easters for you, Marco. Don't worry about it.
I think I've been telling you. I've been going to different athletes and asking them how I deal with Marco's inability to take losing. And everybody's had some very articulate ways. I think I talked to Mike Modano. I talked to Adam Graves. And I'm not name dropping, but these are significant people that I'm lucky enough to rub elbows with. And they're all like articulately telling me, it's a good thing because you can't dial things up. It's easier to dial things down, yada, yada. But then I talked to Brian Boyle about it, and he had the best line. I said, and I tell him, Marco's got a competition problem. He hates to lose. He's like, good, because losing sucks.
There you go. Laid it right out there for you.
Now, I think, simple math tells you that the West has already been won. St. Louis missed their opportunity getting shut out at home by the Sharks, of all teams, where they could have gained some ground on the Kings, who lost. So I think it's over. The Kings have a game in hand. They've got a five-point lead. So I think we've got our eight teams jockeying for position. How do you think the East is going to go? Philadelphia's dropping. I haven't seen the skate or the previews yet. Is Fedotov going to play for Philadelphia? Is he really the only saving grace of this team sinking like a stone?
I don't think he's playing tonight against the Islanders Monday night, so I don't think he's going to be in for this one. They got back-to-back games coming up later in the week at Buffalo, at Columbus. I would think he would play in one of them, maybe at Columbus, but we'll see. But, they're hanging in there, but the Red Wings are 2 points behind them, and they have a game in hand. Now, the Red Wings are in Tampa tonight. Obviously, the Flyers Islanders game tonight. I mean, for the Islanders, I think this is a must-win in regulation situation. If they do, it tightens things up even more. Red Wings are in Tampa, so if they were to manage to get a win, it'd be really, really tight. But I still think Philadelphia is going to hang on.
Mm.
But I just don't think that these teams are pushing hard. Like the Red Wings, I just did their game the other day. They've got it's been a challenge for them. They had a chance to get 2 points against Florida, which would have been a really good 2 points for them. They got one, so I guess that's good news. We'll see. I think that's probably, Detroit and Philadelphia. Maybe that's the battle here down the stretch. I think Washington has played really well.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to get a spot. So, I mean, Washington has played two fewer games than Philly, and they are even in points, but they got the two games in hand. They do play one another in Philadelphia on the final day of the regular season, their final game of the regular season. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't see enough of a push from these teams behind Philadelphia, even though on paper it's very close, and obviously Detroit could pass them. They're only 2 points back with a game in hand. But I guess we'll just have to watch and see. But I haven't seen enough push from from the Islanders, from the Devils, from Detroit, you know, and starts to move downhill from there.
EJ, do you think that there's a conversation that Tampa can leapfrog Toronto in the Atlantic? They've played the same amount of games. Tampa's 4 points behind. They've played slightly better than Toronto, but I don't think that that was going to happen. Me and Don talked about it last week. I just think that Toronto's going to play well enough to hold them off. But Tampa coming on strong here. Do you think they have a chance at third in the Atlantic?
Well, they do play each other twice.
That helps.
Stretch, right? So that's your opportunity to get there. They have the advantage in the regulation win, so that's another. If it end up in a tie, they would be the third team. I tend to think it's hard to make up 4 points with teams that are playing both, you know, well. I mean, Tampa's playing very well of late. Can they continue that? You know, they've got the Red Wings, as I mentioned, tonight, so that'll be kind of a desperate Detroit team. And after that, they go on the road. Toronto, Montreal, Pittsburgh. I mean, their schedule isn't that tough. I mean, you look through it, those three road games, and they're home for Columbus, Ottawa, in Washington, and then home to finish the season with Buffalo and Toronto. So I guess it's possible, but I would tend to think Toronto would hold on to that spot.
And I've heard Sergachev is skating?
I haven't heard that, but I mean, you know, nothing surprises me with these athletes, but I can't imagine that he's close to playing.
We talked about it. The acquisitions of Dumba and Duclair, I think, have really changed the narrative for Tampa. If their season started today, and they probably would be finishing higher than they have. I mean, you've got a world-class goaltender. Those were nice, shrewd moves. I think they've got one of the best coaches in sports, never mind hockey. So I wouldn't put it past them. I know there's a lot of teams atop the Metropolitan Division rooting for Tampa to do that.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with that. I guess it's possible, but I would 100% agree with him. We said this at the time. I like those moves. I mean, like, the problem for the Tampa Bay Lightning has been the lack of depth in their roster and the lack of players to complement the guys they have. And, you know, obviously, lose Sergachev makes it even worse on defense. But they add Duclair, who's, you know, he's a pro. He's a great skater. He can push you back. He's come in and played really well. He's jumped in and played with Kucherov and Point from time to time and played very well with them. And then, Dumba's just another pro that can play in important minutes. And, you know, you have Chernak and you have Dumba as right side guys, you know, and you have Hedman on the left. So, I mean, all of a sudden, it just gives you a little bit more. And, you know, this is a team with Vasilevskiy and goal, with the high-end players they have, with Point and Kucherov and Stamkos and, you know, those high-end guys. I mean, they're a dangerous team with just a little more help, and that's what they got. You know, Julian Brisbois went out and made some, I think, to your usual word, shrewd moves, because those guys have come in and they're pros and they can help them. And, you know, we'll see down the stretch. I mean, Tampa's got something else going for them, too, is that they're a team that won twice, that went to the final three straight years. You know, people write them off a little bit right now as kind of, you know, their run is kind of behind them. But listen, in the East, it's kind of wide open. I mean, I like Florida a lot, but, you know, I just saw them the other day. Florida, you know, a month ago, I think everybody was in unison. Florida is the best team in the East. Now I watch them this last stretch, more of a struggle. So maybe there's room for, you know, the Rangers to be the best team when push comes to shove, or Carolina to be the best team when push comes to shove, or maybe Tampa with the acquisitions and good goaltending. And you just don't know. I think the East is still, you know, now that I see Florida with just a little struggle, boy, who knows what happens in the East if Florida gets knocked out of the picture.
EJ, I think Saturday kind of wrapped it all up for the Blues. I know they're mathematically still alive, but to be 5 points out and losing to the Sharks 4-0 with one less game played than the Kings, I think that the West is kind of locked up in terms of the eight teams that are going to the playoffs. The question I have for you is, Vegas and the Kings have kind of flip-flopped back and forth over the last couple of weeks here. Who do you see getting that three slot in the Pacific? Is it going to be Vegas or is it going to be L.A.?
I would have to side with Vegas, because I do think when everything's clicking for Vegas, they still have if not the best team, one of the best teams in the league. I mean, they're missing Mark Stone. I don't know if they're going to get him back. So, you know, whether they, I don't know if they can win the cup without Mark Stone in the lineup. And so we'll have to wait and see on that. You know, we haven't even seen Tomas Hertl as part of the equation with Vegas. So, you know, that's something else that another player that will be part of things. Is it like Florida almost? Like Florida's problem to me is almost they have too many players right now. And they're trying to look for the combinations that make the most sense for them. So, you know, I wonder if how that's going to be for Vegas if they get everybody in the lineup at the same time. But I would side with Vegas. They seem to, you know, they won last year. They know how to win in big moments. Logan Thompson, by the way, has come back. You remember last year, he was an all-star last year. And then he got hurt. And then it was Lauren Brossoit. And then it was Aiden Hill. And Aiden Hill ended up taking them to the Stanley Cup. You know, this year it's reversed. Aiden Hill's been dinged up. Logan Thompson has had an opportunity of late, and he has been just lights out good for Vegas. So, you know, they've got an interesting schedule left because they got a couple with Vancouver, which, I mean, those will be tests for the Canucks still. I mean, because the Canucks have been, they've had this kind of great ride all year long. It'll be curious to see how things go in the playoffs. And, you know, Vegas has got one more at Edmonton. They got one more at Colorado. So, the schedule will be harder for them, but I think they enjoy those tests. So I think if I have to choose, I'll say Vegas gets that third spot. And it would be nice to shake up that those playoff matchups, because I don't know if I'm really that interested in another Kings Oilers first round matchup for the third year in a row. I don't know if the Kings are interested in that either, but we'll see how, you know, listen, it's tight out there. And to your point about the Blues, I got to just say this league is so crazy. Because the Blues have played the Sharks twice this year, they've been outscored 8-1. I mean, that's 4 points.
That's not good.
If they beat them, they're 1 point back. I mean, they lost two games and in the shutout and lost 4-1. And oh, by the way, they got to go to San Jose again. They're coming up in a few.
House of Horrors, so, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, the San Jose Sharks is the team that you know, took out the St. Louis Blues. I mean, the Sharks haven't had a lot to be excited about this year. But they've had some games where they've beaten teams. I think they came back in a game and beat the Islanders when they were down early in the year, like 4-1, and they rallied and won in overtime. I mean, that's a point that the Islanders could desperately use right now. So San Jose Sharks, it just goes to show you this league, it's crazy. Even teams that are out of it have, you know,
what I find interesting
sometimes find ways.
What I find interesting in the West is, can Edmonton catch Vancouver? Now, it's 6 points, but Edmonton's got two games in hand. They've got one meeting with them next week. But the way the Oilers are playing right now, and Connor McDavid, I joked with Anthony on the podcast, and it's kind of a running joke on text messages. Like a month ago, I just said, wouldn't it be something if McDavid got to 1,000 career points before the season was over? And he's 25 away with 10 games to play. And you know how many points he scored in the last 10? 25. So, I mean, that would be something to score 50 points in his last 20 games. I mean, that's almost Gretzky-esque. I mean, listen, it's amazing what he's doing. Two more goals on Saturday. And if you look at the Vegas odds, they've got pretty high odds, I guess, because people recognize McDavid, and they did go to the conference finals a couple of years ago, and the West is kind of crazy. But, you know, I guess, is it a fait accompli that Vancouver's going to win that division, or can Edmonton get a push here in the last 10?
Well, I mean, I think they could. I mean, you're right. They play. You know, I'll be looking forward to that Edmonton-Vancouver game. Just look at the schedule here. They play April 13th, so they play near the very end. But the thing to remember about that meeting this year is those two teams played very early in the season. I think they opened the season playing back-to-back games. And if we roll all the way back to early October, the Edmonton Oilers obviously had all kinds of problems. I think opening night, the Canucks beat the Oilers like 8-1. Something, it was and that was the kind of game where it was it was the new look Canucks. They had added people to their roster. They were healthy in goal, and they were out early in the year to send a message. As we saw, they did, right? They've had an unbelievable year. They've, they've played good almost wire to wire. They won that game. Then they went in to Edmonton. Edmonton got the message. They played much better in that second game. But Casey DeSmith, making his first start for Vancouver, played very, very well. And the Canucks stole that game. So that was part of that Oilers you know, first 6 weeks that led to the firing of Woodcroft and the hiring of Knobloch. They haven't played since then, to my knowledge. So I'll be really interested to see, like, kind of the Edmonton Oilers. I'm sure, you know, most athletes, most people have a long memory. And in this case, it's about 6 months. But I think the Edmonton Oilers, I think, are fully aware of the Vancouver Canucks now. And I think that'll be an interesting game. And, you know, it might have more significance then than it does now, because, as you said, it's a 6-point difference. You know, Vancouver's got some tough games coming up. We'll see. They don't have their goalie, right? Demko's been out. So that'll be a challenge to hang on. But I think that game will be a very interesting game to watch and to see if it'll be a real good test for the Canucks, because I'm sure the Oilers will come looking to send their own message.
I feel like we say this every year, EJ, but this year really does feel like there's so much parity just within the playoff teams. I mean, really, the President's Trophy hasn't been decided at all. The Rangers could either win it or end up being second in their division, and either one of them could not win the President's Trophy. It could be Boston. It could be Vancouver if they get hot again. It could be Dallas, who's on a 7-game winning streak.
Yeah.
You know, I know that everybody's going to have problems with the way that the seeding, not everybody, but a lot of people are going to have problems with the way that the seeding is because of the way that they make it divisions. But this year, I think, especially with how tightly contested these teams are, this could be one of the most competitive Stanley Cup playoffs that we've had in quite some time, where we might see a couple wildcard teams make it to that second round.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's competitive every year, Anthony. I mean, like, look at last year. I mean, Florida was a wildcard team playing a team that set the record, right, for most wins and most points and just every record you could have for a regular season. It seemed like the Bruins, you know, set last year, and there was Florida. They win, they go to the final. So, I mean, the league is so tight. We just talked about San Jose, right, beating St. Louis twice. I mean, you know, a 7-game series, you're head-to-head with an opponent for that entire time, and, you know, Johnny will get tired of me saying it again. Injuries, matchups. I mean, how healthy are you? How do you match up against a certain team? I mean, you guys watch the Rangers closely. There's teams the Rangers match up great against, seem to find a way to always beat them, and there's other teams where it's a little tougher for whatever reason. And so, you know, those are things that come into play. I mean, a 7-game series, especially in this sport, I mean, it's hard, and you've got to find ways to win. And I think I go back to Peter Laviolette. I think that's an ace in the hole for the Rangers. I think Peter really is a good bench coach and a good guy within series. Obviously, he hasn't won every series he's ever coached, you know, because nobody does. But he's had the experience of winning a Stanley Cup. He's had the experience of going to 3 different Stanley Cup finals with 3 different franchises. So in a league that is going to be tough and tight and hard to win, nice to have a guy on the bench there that has been through it all for a long time and has been able to navigate it, and I think really has a good grip on the team that he's coaching right now. So it's going to be fun to watch, and that's why these teams at the bottom, you know, Detroit, the Islanders, I mean, I don't give them a lot of hope if they get in, but hey, you never know in this silly game. You just don't know.
No, you have no idea. And you brought up the Rangers, and Panarin, probably he's not going to get enough consideration for the heart because he just doesn't have the numbers that the McDavid and Kucherov and McKinnon have, but he has been as important to the Rangers as anybody they have on their team. He's been unreal down the stretch here, what he's been able to accomplish. You know, 107 points, 43 goals. He has just been just an amazing free agent signing, among the greatest free agent signings we've seen this organization ever make, maybe any other team in New York has ever made. You know, it's pretty incredible what the Rangers got. I don't think they thought they were getting this. I think they knew they were getting a really great player, but did they think they were going to get somebody that was going to be this good? Now, let's see what happens in the playoffs. That's ultimately where he's going to be judged, but what a season he's having.
Yeah, it's been an incredible season. And I go back to the offseason, because remember he turned up and he had shaved his head, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and there was the talk, and he was like, well, you know, I don't know if it was after talking to the coaching staff or management, but he wanted to be, you know, he felt like he could be in better shape for whatever reason, right? Like, these guys are all in good shape these days. But, you know, and I remember that early in the year, him talking about that. And, here we are. So, you know, it's kind of reminiscent to me of a couple of years ago, you know, when that last year when Johnny Gaudreau was in Calgary, and he had that great year when the three guys, I think, all had 40 goals, Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Gaudreau. And I can remember watching Johnny Gaudreau play that year, and, you know, a big thing had been Daryl wanted those guys to be fitter. And levels of fitness now, we're talking about thin levels, but, like, they make a difference at the highest level of competition, right? And Johnny Gaudreau, I thought I'd never seen him in better shape, and not that he's, like I said, it's not to say that he's out of shape, but just that I had never seen him at that level of fitness, and he was just fabulous that year. And so the work that you put in the offseason can make a difference. And, you know, Panarin has always been a great player. He's had a couple 90-point seasons for the Rangers, right? But now he's at 107 with what do we have here? I mean, for the Rangers, they have eight games remaining. I mean, it's possible that he gets 120 points on the season. So it's full marks to him. He's been great. I agree with you. I think in the running for the Hart Trophy, I think that the three names, it's just going to be hard to get past McDavid and really MacKinnon and Kucherov and McDavid, right? Those three. And then you got Yossi has made, like, you've heard his name a little lately, but I just think it's hard to get past those three. I mean, I don't vote on that stuff anymore, but if I were, I mean, I would probably still have MacKinnon at one, and then I would probably have Kucherov at two and McDavid at three, but, like, that's today. And there's another, you know, 10 games left, or a little less than 10 games for most of the teams. So, you know, that's, I think it'd just be hard to crack those three based on what's happened this season. But it doesn't take anything away from what I think that Panarin has done. And I know that those who watch the Rangers a lot, like Larry Brooks or Molly Walker or you guys, I mean, I know that they've talked about, you know, him, you know, being a, deserves every bit of consideration, which he does. But, you know, for me, at the end of the day, someone who watches all 32 teams and tries to, you know, balance that, it just seems it's hard to look past what MacKinnon has done this year and Kucherov and McDavid. But to your point about Panarin, it'll be, you know, his legacy will be seen in the postseason, right? Can he take that next step in the playoffs and be the same kind of difference maker in the playoffs? So we will see. I'll tell you, though, the Rangers, it's been a good run for them right now. They've beaten some teams. When you think about going into Colorado and winning, to beating Florida, I know Florida was without Barkov and I think Ekblad in that game at the Garden, but still, that's a good win.
And they were the Rangers were out Trouba and Lindgren, so that was, you know, not even.
Yeah, that's right.
Still.
Fair, very, very fair point. So, you know, at the end of the day, the Rangers are right in the mix here. They got every chance. They got a great goalie. They got a great coach. I mean, they got guys that could score. I mean, they're going to be a handful for anybody they play.
Well, you just said, you know, you never know in this league. But I just did the quick math. They've got eight games left. Of the seven teams they have left to play, because they play the Islanders twice, they are only one playoff team as of right now, and that's Philadelphia. You know, Detroit could change that. They're right, very close. The Rangers' collective record against the teams they have remaining are 14-1-1.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I listen, you know how it is in this league, and we'll see how. Yeah. But as far as them being able to win the President's Trophy, and right now they got a 3-point lead on Carolina, which is also means winning their division, which is crazy. And the Rangers have a game in hand on Carolina. So they're in really good shape, EJ, to be able to win this thing if they just play the way that they're capable of playing against the teams they're playing. Now, Islanders are going to be desperate. Flyers are going to be desperate. And, you know, we saw even Saturday, the Coyotes wouldn't go away. So I'm not saying that they're going to go, you know, close out the regular season on a 13-game winning streak. But there are, you know, of the 16 points they're capable of getting, I think a Ranger fan should be disappointed if they don't at least get, you know, 10 of those possible 16.
Yeah. I agree. And I'll tell you what, I look at their schedule. The toughest game left on their schedule, Donnie, is their last game at home against Ottawa, because the Ottawa Senators always give them trouble.
Yeah.
So to me, I look at those games, like, I think they're better than the Islanders. And they've handled the Islanders in the two games this year, although obviously the Stadium Series game was a crazy game. The Devils, that's usually a tight game. But, you know, that's a soft schedule for them down the stretch. I mean, they're in position – to run through that, and whether I don't know if Ranger fans want to hear anybody say it, but to win the President's Trophy. I mean, nobody seems to want to win the President's Trophy based on the history of that.
But again, it's
still a great accomplishment.
I'm not a big curse guy.
Yeah, but I'll ask a Ranger fan this.
Neither am I.
Okay, so you don't want to win the President's Trophy. So that means if you don't win the President's Trophy and you finish second, then you've got a date with Tampa. So, yeah. You know, and I'm not saying they can lose. I mean, they've beaten Tampa twice, but I mean, I just think that's a really tough first round draw. Listen, Washington's not going to be any cakewalk either, the way they've played. They've been really a house on fire, and they've given the Rangers problems this year in the regular season.
They have.
You know, if I'm going to have a season for the ages and I'm going to have one of the great regular seasons in franchise history, I don't think the draw you want in the first round is Tampa.
93-20 after better 5-on-5. Simple as that. They need to be better, and if they want to go as far as they want to go this year, along with Panarin, like you said, EJ, Zibanejad and Kreider have to find themselves 5-on-5, and they haven't yet, and it's been most of the season. Yeah. So hopefully they can kind of turn that around for Ranger fans' sake, because that those are the two guys they're going to need more than even Panarin if they want to make it past the second round.
I'm sure you saw it, EJ. That was pretty funny when they reviewed and took his 300th goal away, and he tossed the puck back on the ice, right? He ended up getting the goal anyway, which I thought was good. But he is an enigma. We've talked about him many times. I still believe number 20 is going to end up hanging from the rafters. When it's all said and done, but he can be a very, very frustrating player. And Anthony's absolutely right. There are just too many games where his name's not called enough. Just it's not on the power play, sure, but 5-on-5, he's not a great puck handler. You can make the case that, like, we were talking that there are times that I don't think he's actually. I wouldn't put him out there in overtime. Believe it or not. I mean, because you're not really parked in front of the net overtime where he gets the majority of his goal. He's not a great puck handler. I think they put him out there 3-on-3 because of the supposed chemistry with Zibanejad, but I don't think he's a great overtime player.
Yeah, well, he's got great speed, right? So, I mean, I think that they try to take advantage of that. But, yeah, he's definitely one of these guys that you talk to Ranger fans, they have different opinions on. Some love him. Some aren't as enamored. I know going back to when he was drafted, talking to the scouts at that time, the feeling was that, like, listen, as I've said it before, I mean, he's big, he's strong, he's fast. I mean, he can shoot the puck, But I used to use this phrase more often with him, and because it's kind of closed over the years, but, like, you know, the peaks are high and the valleys are long, you know, and that, like, you know, he could do great things and be such a huge difference maker, but then you could go stretches where you don't really notice him that much. And I think your colleague, Dave Maloney, talks about him not being hard enough on the wall in the D zone on winning battles, getting pucks out of the zone. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Donnie, because you would know better than me if Dave is actually, so I don't want to put words in Dave's mouth, but if that is the case, that's problematic.
No, he does bring that up a lot. You're right.
That is where you're going to lose a big game, right there. On a puck that doesn't get cleaned out in a close game that ends up back in your zone, that ends up in your net. So those are the areas to me that you have to, especially a player of his size and strength, he has to win those battles consistently. And in the playoffs, you don't have to win them consistently. You have to win every single one if you're going to win. Because in a tight game, you lose one of those battles and you could lose the game. So those are the areas that, you know, he's going to have to be good at. Just like Panarin, who has had this unbelievable year, and we've just talked about him, he's going to have to play north-south more often. Like, there's going to be times when he's going to want to, because it's his instinct, because he's a great player, he has great instincts to make plays, there's going to be time when a play isn't there. And he's going to have to be willing to make the smart, safer play in certain situations. Not every time, but there are going to have to be moments when he's going to have to do that. And we'll see how that plays out for them in the playoffs. Those are the things that ended up, quite frankly, losing you games in big moments. So we'll see if he's able to do that. But, you know, as for Kreider, we know all the positives. He gets to the front of the net. He's great on the power play. He's a great tip guy in front. But you know, I think the when you're big and strong and fast like that, the expectations are that you're going to be Mark Messier, that you're going to be Gordie Howe. I mean, like he's got unbelievable physical tools, but you know, he's been a really good player in his career. But you know, players sometimes like that who have those physical tools leave you wanting more all the time, it seems like. So he's had a great career for the Rangers. He's been a really good player. Maybe this is the year that, you know, they all finally leave their mark. I mean, because when you go through a career, right, Don, in this sport, if there's no Stanley Cups during that run, it's not complete in terms of how you judge, you know, where a guy fits in over time. Now, it's not always the end all be all, and maybe you're not on a good enough team. But the Rangers have had some really good teams. They went to the Stanley Cup final in 2014. So, you know, if they can win a Stanley Cup and he's a part of it, Panarin's a part of it, I think for those guys, among others on the team, I mean, boy, that takes their career to another level, don't you think?
No, and there's no question. I mean, they get defined by that, especially in New York. I mean, the Yankees have kind of set a standard where it's almost like no one cares unless you win a ring. And you think of where let me be frank. Is Adam Graves' number retired if he doesn't win a cup?
Yeah, you know,
he's an outstanding.
You read my mind.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
And listen, Graves' tremendous. He was a great player, and he scored 50 goals. Yeah. But really, I mean, Richter, the same thing. I mean, those guys will always be remembered because they won the cup. And Zibanejad and Panarin and Kreider, they will be remembered if they're able to win one. Lundqvist was able to break that because he was just so good and so charismatic and played for so long.
Because
Jockeman, his numbers retired, didn't win.
Exactly.
You know, so
Rick, and I think Richter, the same thing. I think
probably you're right. 300 wins would have got But for a Kreider, for a Zibanejad and even a Panarin that didn't start their career. The only reason I talk about Kreider is because he's going to be a compiler, right? Like, he'll be looked upon because he was drafted here. If he finishes his career here, he ends up breaking the record for goals and power play goals and stuff. He might be able to do it. But still, right now, a cup would change everything.
Yep, I agree. So we'll see. This is a great opportunity for the Rangers. It's a year that I don't see any distinct favorite that I say, boy, it's just a pot. I don't think anybody can beat them. And we only have to go back to last year.
Yeah, exactly.
With the Bruins, as we mentioned earlier, right, to see a team that had an unbelievable regular season. So we'll see how it plays out. Finishing first would be great for them. It would put them in a position where, to your point, they're hopefully not in a situation against, you know, let's say Tampa, because that's the only one that I think at the bottom. I mean, Washington's given the Rangers some trouble this year. And so, you know, and they're on one of those kind of crazy runs right now with a goalie playing really, really well. But, I mean, really, in a seven-game series, the Rangers should be able to beat the Capitals. But that's what you want. I mean, when the Rangers won in 94, the first round was against a weak Islander team, and they swept them. And then I think they handled, I think it was Washington maybe next in five.
Yes.
And then it got hard, but that's how it goes. That's the path you want, is that you want to get through those first rounds, like especially the first round. You want to get through there quick. And that was the problem with those Ranger teams that Torts had in other years and other coaches had, that everything was a battle all the time. Remember the year that they could have went to the final in 2012? You know, they were out of gas by the conference final against the Devils. I mean, they were down to 3.5 defensemen they were playing. So they had 2 7-game series, I think, before that. So, and I could be wrong about that. I mean, but I know they it seemed like they always had a harder path. If this Ranger team can get to that, can win the division, set up an easier first round, because the second round is likely going to be the Carolina Hurricanes, and that's going to be more challenging. So, we'll see.
It'll make it fun. There's no question. And I'm just looking up because I'm trying to remember. In my mind's eye, Susan, they went 7 with Ottawa in the first round. And in the second round against the Capitals, they went 7. Yeah, so they played 14 games going into that series. And the Devils in the first round, they went 7 against Florida. That was a crazy series. But
then
they were
won
able to
five against Philly.
Against Philly. So those two games, that little bit of rest going in. And you said injuries, you get banged up, you're down 3.5 defensemen. We talked last Monday about what happened to Buffalo in 06. They were all banged up on the blue line by the time they played Carolina.
And they were talking about getting defensemen like from overseas that were part of their roster,
right,
their drafts. I remember that.
And to me,
come over.
And again, no offense to Carolina. They deserve that Stanley Cup. And, you know, Carolina, I mean, that was Buffalo's season. That was Buffalo's cup. They were the best team. They should have won the championship and didn't because they were banged up at the absolute wrong time. So, no question. All right, I'll let you fly. What do you got all this weekend?
We're done.
They're done.
The showcase weekends are over. So we're done with showcase games. So
I don't like it.
I guess I return. Well, neither do I. I return to the play-by-play airwaves for the international Stanley Cup final, I guess, will be the next one. But you never know, I guess, to see how things play out. But, we'll be doing NHL tonight, every night, 6 o'clock for the most part. And, you know, I looked at my playoff schedule, so we'll be in there, you know, every night, 6 o'clock. So that'll be good. And, you know, coming down the stretch, we'll see where it goes from here. I'll leave you with this, though. I'll be shocked if the Rangers don't win the division, just with the game in hand and with the schedule that they have.
Yeah.
I'll be very surprised if they don't win the division. And I think they're really in a great spot to maybe win the President's Trophy again because they have no back-to-backs. Their schedule is kind of soft. You have to win the games, but, you know, we'll see.
We will see. All right, EJ, enjoy it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, EJ.
All right, see you guys.
All right, that's EJ. Joins us every Monday here on Game Misconduct. Interesting schedule of games. Usually Monday, Anthony's kind of light, but with only one game yesterday, we get some nice...
the league
nice
punted yesterday.
You know, Rangers-Penguins tonight, Avalanche-Blue Jackets, Islanders-Flyers. That's the huge game.
Yep.
That's going to be one of those games, Anthony, where if it's tied in overtime, they're going to pull the goaltender, right? They can't. 1 point's not good enough. They're going to have to get 2 points to Philadelphia 0 tonight. So this
and
Waugh's
been aggressive as it is,
right? So that's going to have to happen. Red Wings
is good, no?
What's that?
Jets Kings will be interesting.
Jets Kings interesting. You know, Jets another loss on Saturday to Ottawa. So Ottawa's kind of been really feisty here down the stretch of the season. So the Jets just tapping out on that Central Division championship. It's still very much a playoff team. Red Wings get a tough draw tonight in Tampa against the Lightning. Panthers Leafs, that should be always fun. Congratulations to Austin Matthews. Second time he has reached 60 goals on a season. So very good chance to add to that before the end of the season. And we'll keep our McDavid tracker will be in beast mode tonight as the Oilers are in St. Louis to take on the Blues. It would be like the Blues to get shut out by the Sharks and then turn around and blank the Oilers. But,
right.
A chance for Connor McDavid to get a little bit closer to 1,000, 25 away. So kind of crazy.
And we have the, if you really love hockey game, Kraken Sharks, 10:30.
Yeah, 10:30. You got to love it, you know, or just have sleep deprivation or something going on in your life.
You used to do it, Don. You used to do it.
No, I would not. There was a time before the children where I would not go to bed until the last game was done. Like I just could not go to sleep until I knew all the games were final. Now when I say games, I mean hockey games.
Yes.
That obviously has changed dramatically in my life. That's not the case anymore, but still.
I'm already not looking forward to Yankees Diamondbacks these next 4 days.
Yeah, those are the late
stuff. I guess I'm just getting old.
Oh, well, you're not even 30, right?
No, I'm not 30.
So shut up.
All right.
All right, we will talk to you again on Wednesday. We'll get more of the social media stuff going at Don LaGreca and at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct. Thanks again to EJ Raddick. Enjoy the games tonight. Talk to you on Wednesday. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.